are used in the English-speaking world, the English-speaking liturgies around the world. So, a few years ago, we worked on the first ever translation into English of the Rite of Major Exorcism. Did you know that the Church not only still believes in the existence of demons, but still carries out the Rite of Exorcism, the Major Exorcism? In fact, the number of requests to bishops for exorcisms just in the United States has been rising significantly in recent years. As maybe because as our society becomes more secularized, people are turning more and more to the occult rather than the Church, whether for fun or for power. And that evil is growing. But here's the thing. The devil and his demons are creatures. More powerful creatures than you or me, and so not for us to mess with. But they're mere insignificant creatures in relationship to the Creator and Redeemer. The Gospels are filled with examples of Jesus exorcising demons. And today we hear that he gave a share not only of his healing power, but also his exorcistic power to the 72 disciples whom he sent out on mission. He intends his Church to continue his work of healing and casting out demons still today. Notice that he sends out the disciples in pairs. It can kind of seem a little bit counterintuitive. Wouldn't they be able to get a lot more done if they went out individually? Not necessarily. The Christian life is always communal. It's never just me and Jesus. And there's something important and powerful for the crowds not simply to be preached at, but to witness two disciples interacting, dialoguing with each other, forgiving each other, loving each other, supporting each other. I've had college students tell me that their conversion happened not with a brilliant speech by a missionary, but precisely in watching two missionary disciples interact with each other. There's wisdom in what Jesus says and does. Another reason for the importance of the pairing of disciples, I think, is that mission to cast out demons. Jesus taught, and the Church still teaches today, that the rite of major exorcism should only be done together with a number of disciples who can provide prayer and support. It's not individuals who cast out demons. It's the power of Christ working through the Church that casts out demons. And notice what the disciples say to Jesus after they return from their mission. They're exalted. They cry out, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Notice they didn't just say, "Even the demons are subject to us." They add, "in your name." This is an important lesson for us always, still today. While only a priest, only with a bishop's permission, is allowed to perform the rite of major exorcism, any baptized Christian can pray what we call minor exorcisms. And we can all be tempted and even be harassed by evil. But sometimes that evil comes from our own hearts. But sometimes it's also exacerbated by evil spirits. A minor exorcism is a prayer in the name of Jesus to cast out evil influence. It should be prayed aloud, because while the Lord can read our minds and our hearts, the demons cannot. They need to hear the word of command. And this prayer always begins in the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus, and then we name the evil to be cast out. So for example, in the name of Jesus, spirit of anger, depart from me and never return. Jesus, fill me with your spirit of gentleness. In the name of Jesus, spirit of lust, depart from me and never return. Jesus, fill me with your spirit of love. In the name of Jesus, spirit of gossip and detraction, depart from me and never return. Jesus, fill me with your spirit of encouragement and appreciation, and so forth. It's a powerful prayer. And it's continuing to do what Jesus did, and what he commanded his disciples to do, to cast out the evil and all evil influence. We should have a regular habit of praying these kind of prayers, casting out evil from our lives and our homes. Lastly, we heard those beautiful words of Jesus at the end of the Gospel. I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. In the presence of Jesus, when Jesus is welcomed into our minds and hearts and bodies and souls, then Satan and the power of Satan crumbles in you. Then the words of Isaiah from our first reading are renewed again in us. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your body flourish like the grass. The Lord's power shall be known to his servants. And then, like St. Paul in our second reading, we shall be a new creation of peace and mercy, and conform ever more fully to the Lord Jesus. So keep your eyes and ears open to find a fellow disciple at school, at work, at home, with whom you can together witness the gospel to others. And I encourage you to develop a habit every day, whenever you feel those sinful temptations growing, to cast them out with a mind registered in the powerful and beautiful name of Jesus. Here's the homework for the week. Pray this week and beyond in the name of Jesus. Spirit of love, in the name of temptation, depart from me and never return. Jesus, fill me with your spirit of love, and name the opposite of virtue. Do that with as many of those as is needed.